Thank you. Thank you so much. What a great day. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning to all of you. It is, of course, my privilege to welcome to our great city the President of the United States, George W. Bush. I also extend a warm welcome to Attorney General Ashcroft, Senator Arlen Specter, and all of our other wonderful distinguished guests who are here, our congressional delegation and others. Mr. President, thank you so much for your interest in our great city. I also want to congratulate the 35 Philadelphia police officers being honored here today. As members of the Philadelphia Police Department, you are to be commended for your dedication to ensuring the safety of our citizens. Your families must also be commended for their selflessness in supporting your careers. I know that it is with a great sense of pride and achievement that you are here today. Unfortunately, our great police commissioner, Commissioner Timoney, is unable to be with us, but were he here, I'm sure he would be adding his congratulations along with all the rest of us. You contribute in a very significant way to the safety of our great city. However, we cannot ignore the evidence that identifies the poorest neighborhoods as having the highest frequency of violent crime and drug activity, areas that are burdened by blight and abandonment, areas where our schools are in the direst need and unemployment is highest. I am disturbed by reports which recite staggering statistics on the percentage of young people involved in crimes without any reference to the economic and other social activities which contribute to that conduct. Today, these new corporals have sworn to do their part, and we must do ours. We thank them for their service, bravery, and the sacrifices they make. Enforcement of our laws must continue to improve, but not in a vacuum. We must continue to work to reduce the guns on the street, and we have established a program in passing out safety gun locks so that our children and our families will be safer. Through our recent education efforts and the progress we have made in making teaching and learning a priority in our classrooms, we believe that we can improve the quality of life for all of our citizens. And recently, through our faith-based anti-truancy program and our expanded after-school programs, we can ensure that Philadelphia's children and youth are involved in a constructive way. We have a neighborhood transformation initiative designed to strengthen our communities, eliminate blight, and provide employment opportunities, and we will get it done. Over the past 3 years, we have seen a reduction in violent crime, thefts, and robberies. Homicides are decreasing, and I'm happy to report that according to our latest ComStat data, homicides so far this year are 21% lower than this time last year. Although this is encouraging, it is not enough. One life lost is unacceptable. And all of you and our police officers share the tremendous responsibility of ensuring we do better as a city. I will rely on the bipartisan support from our local elected officials, as well as our national leaders, to help us make Philadelphia the city that it can be. I congratulate all of you on this wonderful achievement. Last year, year before last, as it were, I had the opportunity to meet Governor Bush. I actually traveled to the Northeast Airport to welcome him to our great city. And at the time, I met him, and he, of course, was enormously cordial. But as he was leaving the airport, he saw me and he stopped his limousine and he got out and he said, "Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for coming. I want you to know I'm going to win this thing." And he said, "I'm going to be the next president of the United States." And he said, "And when I do, Philadelphia is the place and you're the man." Now, what mayor wouldn't want to hear that from a person who has just assured me, Councilman O'Neill, he assured me, you were there, that he was going to be the next president of the United States. And the election, of course, came and went. But I remembered those words, and when I got the call that I would have an opportunity to be in Washington at the president's inaugural and his first address to the Congress, and I'd have an opportunity to sit right next to probably the only person who can tell the president of the United States what to do, his lovely wife, Laura, I said, maybe there was something to that. This is pretty good. And I sat and I listened to his address, and I will tell you there were many, many encouraging things. I liked what I heard about public education and the importance of it in the lives of cities and in the lives of people in our country. The president has been very sensitive to our needs as cities and our needs as communities that are struggling, that have problems. And I appreciate very much his interest in our great city. He has shown an unusual sensitivity and an unusual understanding of our challenges, and he has made a commitment that is unusual in my memory in making sure that we feel good and are served by our government. And so I'm absolutely delighted, ladies and gentlemen, to present to you the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Thank you all. Please. Thank you. You're still the man, Mr. Mayor. It's an honor to be introduced by the mayor. One of the reasons why I asked him to sit next to Laura during my State of the Union address, or State of the Budget address, I guess, is because of the fantastic work the mayor has done with faith-based programs in Philadelphia. He understands that government is limited. We can spend money, but what government cannot do is put hope in the hearts of our fellow citizens. And Mr. Mayor, I appreciate your leadership, and I'm honored that you would welcome me to this great city. I was thinking coming in that had things worked out differently, Philadelphia could have been the nation's capital. And I would have been calling you neighbor. And we'd have had a baseball team in the nation's capital, and it would have been a pretty good one, too. I'm honored to be traveling with the Attorney General, who I'll introduce in a minute. It's a great honor to be with the senior senator from the state of Pennsylvania. That's Arlen Specter, as well as the junior senator, Rick Santorum. Thank you both for being here. And we've got members of the congressional delegation here as well. Weldon, Heffel, and Tooney, I want to thank you guys for coming. We're flying back on Air Force One. I look forward to listening to what you need to tell me. I probably won't do it, but nevertheless, I look forward to listening. I'm honored to be here with the Lieutenant Governor and the Attorney General of the great state of Pennsylvania. I'm sorry my close friend, the Governor, is not here, but I understand he's trying to drum up some business for the state of Pennsylvania, so he's got an excused absence. It's such an honor to be here with leaders of the national law organization, such as my friend Gil Gallegos from the state of New Mexico, who's the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. Thank you for being here, Gil, as well as the other leaders. And most importantly, it's an honor to be here with the men and women who wear the blue. And I want to thank you for your service to your community and to your nation. And like the mayor, I congratulate those officers who were promoted to corporal. It's a well-deserved honor. And it's fitting that it come on National Police Week. I want to express my appreciation to all in this city who are involved with law enforcement. And thank you for your skill and your dedication, and most importantly, your bravery on behalf of your fellow citizens. During the last several years, violent crime in America has been decreasing, and all Americans are grateful. Between 1989 and 1999, the violent crime rate dropped 20%. And that's a huge accomplishment. It really is. But unfortunately, American society is still far too violent. The violent crime rate in the United States remains among the highest in the industrialized world. Nationally, there were 12,658 murders in 1999, two-thirds of which were shooting deaths. And for every fatal shooting, there were roughly three non-fatal shootings. And folks, this is unacceptable in America. It's just unacceptable. And we're going to do something about it. Like most major urban centers, cities in America, Philadelphia suffered from a stunning rise in violent crime. However, Philadelphia, as the mayor mentioned, has made great progress. For example, in 1990, there were 500 murders. Last year, 319. And the mayor deserves a lot of credit. So does the police commissioner and the policemen and women of Philadelphia. And for that, we're incredibly grateful. And we're grateful for programs such as Operation Sunrise and Safe and Sound and Youth Violence Reduction Project, which, Mr. Mayor, is making your city more safe and more secure for all the citizens. But gun violence is still a serious problem. 3 out of 4 murder victims in this city are shot to death with handguns. Among young victims, that figure rises to almost 9 out of 10. In America today, a teenager is more likely to die from a gunshot than from all natural causes of death combined. These details have caused too many families to bury the next generation. And for all our children's sake, this nation must reclaim our neighborhoods and our streets. We need a national strategy to assure that every community is attacking gun violence with focus and intensity. I'm here today to announce a national initiative to help cities like Philadelphia fight gun violence. The program I propose, we call Project Safe Neighborhoods, will establish a network of law enforcement and community initiatives targeted at gun violence. It will involve an unprecedented partnership between all levels of government. It will increase accountability within our systems. And it will send an unmistakable message. If you use a gun illegally, you will do hard time. This nation must enforce the gun laws which exist on the books. Project Safe Neighborhoods incorporates and builds upon the success of existing programs. In Richmond, Virginia, for example, during the first year of what's called Project Exile, homicides were reduced by 40%, and armed robberies were reduced by 30% in the first year alone. And thanks to Boston's Operation Ceasefire, in almost 2 years, no one under the age of 17 was shot. These are tremendous success stories, and ones that are worth duplicating around our nation. My administration is proposing to devote more than $550 million on Project Safe Neighborhoods over the next 2 years. The funding will be used to hire new federal and state prosecutors, to support investigators, to provide training, and develop and promote community outreach efforts. All newly appointed United States attorneys will be directed to certify to the Attorney General that the new comprehensive gun violence program has been implemented in their districts. We're going to reduce gun violence in America, and those who commit crimes with guns will find a determined adversary in my administration. Domestic tranquility is a phrase made famous in this city. Project Safe Neighborhoods is one step, and an important step, to making that a reality. And now to explain the program is a fine American, a great Attorney General, John Ashcroft.
Well, I'm grateful and most pleased that all of us citizens of America, in particular our law enforcement community, has a president. We all have a president who is committed to action and who's willing to back that action up with the appropriate resources so that we can get the job done. The president is making an enormous contribution to restoring safety and compassion to America. Today's announcement will help us meet that goal. Mr. President, as you mentioned, the administration is proposing to spend well over $550 million in this effort over 2 years, including over $230 million available for this year. This funding will be used to hire new federal and state prosecutors, to support investigators, to provide training, to develop and promote community outreach efforts. Every newly appointed United States attorney will lead the way by establishing strategic partnerships that include five core elements. First, partnerships. The United States attorney in each judicial district will bring together all law enforcement agencies to ensure a uniform and comprehensive approach to reduce gun violence. Each United States attorney will establish a task force consisting of federal and local officials to review and prepare gun cases for prosecution in the most appropriate forum. Number two, strategic planning. The strategic plans will vary from community to community with the same goal of reducing gun violence. Each strategy will contain the core components of intelligence gathering, enforcement policy, and specialized units. Number three, training. The Justice Department will partner with the ATF, the National District Attorneys Association, and local law enforcement to conduct innovative regional cross-training involving prosecutors and agents participating in gun crime enforcement. Number four, outreach. United States attorneys will work with existing coalitions and establish new coalitions within each community to increase awareness and participation. Awareness that those who use guns in the commission of crimes indeed will have to understand and endure the consequences. Number five, accountability. The United States attorneys will receive resources to measure the long-term impact of the programs that they implement. The measurement will vary from the traditional output method of counting the number of arrests, prosecutions, and convictions, and will instead gauge the reduction in crime or the outcome of the initiative. The outcome of this initiative should be safer communities and safer citizens. And we will measure the reduction in crime. This program will be funded by a substantial commitment of new resources available for this year. These resources include, first, $15.3 million in funding for 113 new assistant attorneys general, U.S. attorneys, to serve as full-time gun prosecutors. $75 million for new state and local gun prosecutors to work in partnership with the federal law enforcement authorities, which is $75 million is expected to fund approximately 600 additional prosecutors at the state and local level. Number three, $44 million in state criminal history records improvement grants to ensure that state criminal records are current. Number four, $19.1 million in funding to expand ATF's Youth Crime Gun Interdiction Initiative. And number five, $41.3 million in funding to expand ATF's Integrated Violence Reduction Strategy, which targets gun crime trafficking, armed violent offenders, and prohibited gun buyers identified by the National Instant Check System. Number six, development of a community outreach toolkit for United States attorneys so that they have the resources needed to communicate the Project Safe Neighborhood message to the community in which they live. And additionally, monies are available in the 2002 budget to bring the total expenditures for this program to well over $550 million. Finally, Mr. President, I want you to know that Project Safe Neighborhood could not have been developed, nor can it be implemented solely by the Department of Justice. I want to thank all of our partners, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF. And I also want to thank the professional organizations who participated as advisors for the development of this initiative. In particular, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, NOBLE, Major Cities Chiefs of Police, the Policy Executive Police Executive Research Forum, the National Sheriff's Association, and the National District Attorneys Association, as well as, of course, the Fraternal Order of Police, who have endorsed this initiative. We are grateful to these who have participated in the formulation of this policy, because it is they who will join us in the implementation of this policy, your policy for safer neighborhoods, which will indeed result in the opportunity for Americans as citizens to achieve their goals. I thank you for this opportunity to serve with you and with them, and look forward to outcomes which reflect well on the citizens of this great nation. Thank you.